Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, when we decided to send our oldest son, well, we didn't decide. God kind of opened that door, and this was an arena he wanted to go into, so we were supportive of it. But I can tell you there were plenty of people in the Christian world that were not supportive of it because he wanted to go work in the game company world. So he wanted to be not just a gamer, but somebody that works in the gaming world as a 3D artist. So he does all kinds of stuff in the 3D space, digital realm, and creating things in a 3D space. So a lot of people were like, oh my goodness, you're going to have your fine young Christian son go off and get into the gaming industry. There's nothing good in the gaming industry. Nothing good comes out of that. It's kind of like Nazareth, right? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But were they so wrong? But oftentimes I think we limit how God has created our children, and we put our own constraints or restraints on them. We want them to go down a road that perhaps, well, you know, that's really sweet, Jimmy, or that's really sweet, Annie, but you know, you need to have a career that is going to be a little more stable, which really is code for you need to make more money than that. And one of those arenas that a lot of times people don't want to go into in the Christian world is fine arts. So we start talking about acting. You want to get into musicals. You want to be in that world of fine arts at all. And oftentimes we kind of go, oh, well, that's nice, a little fad when you're young, but get over it and move on. No, no, no. God has called us to take dominion over the entire earth, and I think that we've abandoned way too many fields. And so where the culture goes, you complain about politics, but you got to remember politics is downstream from culture. And one of the things that shapes culture is the entertainment industry, the fine arts industry, whether it's music or movies or acting, plays, you name it. Those things are all upstream from politics. And so a friend that I met recently that was referred to me from that crazy lady that wrote that crazy book about that crazy blind horse, Jennifer told me about Michael Green. And then I'm like, well, any friend of Jennifer's probably needs to be locked up. So I want to meet this guy. And then I found out that he's like the Christian Peter Pan. And I'm like, I don't want to meet him anymore because that's just, I don't want to hang out at Starbucks with some guy in green tights. But he didn't wear his tights that day, but he's a wonderful man anyway. Michael Green, welcome to the show. How was that?
Speechless,
yes!
Actually.
Excellent.
I've never worn tights in my life.
That was a home run.
Yeah. Now, you're a thespian and you're in the fine arts world and you've never worn tights.
Never. Never will.
So I'm trying to decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Anyway, let's just set that aside.
Yeah, please.
And Michael's got a great story. God has called him into a great vision, a great dream that I am so happy that it's going to be happening, God willing. And he and Michael and his family will be moving to Nashville area soon and starting something, which you're going to have to learn how to say this like I did. But it's Poema. It's the Poema Arts Conservatory. And am I saying it wrong, Michael?
Absolutely. Poema.
Poema, not Poema.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter. So Poema Arts Conservatory, which is going to be in the Nashville area. Really a great story, and I'm so glad that you're doing this, and thank God for it. And but how did you end up down this road? Because I'm thinking when you were a younger lad, this wasn't really on your radar screen.
Well, it actually was.
So what do I know?
I've been arts all my life. Then you get saved. I got saved in 79, and you weren't allowed to do the arts in the church then. So we had to throw everything away. Nothing was good. Went off to Bible college, came back, and was on staff at a church, and that was when there was a resurgence of the arts into the church world.
And what did that look like then, the arts in the church world?
Amateur.
But what was it?
It was a great attempt.
Like what form did it take?
Dance through worship, banners, flags, movement.
So this obviously, we're not talking about the Southern Baptist Convention here. We're talking about...
Not then.
More non-denominational.
Exactly, yeah.
Pentecostal perhaps. But.
Yeah, more of the non-denominational. Yeah. It wasn't really welcomed. And almost, even in the Pentecostal non-denominational world, it really wasn't welcomed at all. Found out that I started to dream again, if you will, look back at my roots and found out what God had called me to do. Spent 13 years in pastoral ministry in Columbus, and God said, it's time to go.
That's right. You were in Columbus, Ohio, the city of my rebirth, as well as my wife.
And go Buckeyes. Yeah. I had to put it in, man.
Yeah, well, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy.
You have to have them.
Now, when you got saved, Michael, and you had, you know, God had created you to be in the world of the arts, did you kind of buy into the lie that as a Christian, we really shouldn't be delving into what many might call the black arts, that we were in entertainment? So you actually bought that job.
Of course.
So
it was very religious back then. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. Religion was
that's a great point.
Was the great thing to go after. The do's and the don'ts, and you had to look good in front of your brothers and sisters. It kind of limited you. But I thought that was it. I mean, if I could check off every box, I felt like God loved me a whole lot more.
Yeah. I owe, so off to work I go.
Oh, absolutely.
So 13 years in pastoral ministry.
Yep. God called us away. So we moved down to North Carolina. Didn't know what we were going to do. We just felt like this was the place that God had called us. We had a pastor friend down here. Got more involved in arts ministry. Served on staff at a couple of different churches down here and helped them with their arts program. And then, lo and behold, I was right out of the blue, was asked to come on staff at a local high school, public high school. And then a private high school approached me, a Christian school, said, "Hey, we need you." And we spent the last 17 years there building an incredible program, a lot of accolades, a lot of great things happened there.
And that's how I knew of your work, but I didn't know anything about you personally. Here in Raleigh, North Carolina, in our market, that's North Raleigh Christian Academy. And it was always one thing after another, and a mutual friend of ours, the Cornegies, their son, Davis. Mr. Lighting guy. Now he's down at Louis Giglio's church in Atlanta. So if you lived in this market, you always heard about how remarkable the program was at North Raleigh Christian Academy, and that was, of course, God working through you to have that impact. And so did you feel like when you got there, like, this is it? This is the culmination of everything. I'm in a Christian high school environment. I'm doing performing arts and fine arts. Boy, it doesn't get any better than this.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when I got there, I really wanted to go back to the public school because I felt like it was a great mission field. I had a lot of favor there. And I felt like this was compromise coming back into a Christian world. But then, obviously, God changed my mind quickly as I was able to do a whole lot more and had so much favor with the administration.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
They allowed me to do so many things and experiment in the kingdom of God. It was great. I mean, I would never trade the last 17 years for anything.
Where did the dream of Poema come from? Where did that start? How did that start?
Actually,
when was that seed planted?
We had just closed the Phantom of the Opera, and a gentleman came up to me and said, "Do you know what Poema means?" And he showed me out of Ephesians 2:10 about we are his Poema, his workmanship. And that started the ball rolling and started investigating.
What year was that?
That was back in 2008.
2008-ish. Talking to Michael Green, Poema Arts Conservatory, soon to be born there near Nashville. More of that story and how you can get involved when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Talking to Michael Green today, who's a newer friend of mine, but now an eternal friend. You're stuck with me, Michael. Sorry. Poema Arts Conservatory, which is soon to be launching, God willing, and God's been doing all kinds of stuff, and this is a passion that he placed into Michael years and years and years and years and decades and decades and centuries ago when Michael was a wee little lad. And so a Christian arts conservatory to work on, develop people, really to develop all kinds of talent in the world of fine arts, which is something that you complain about. And I just saw, and I'll do a movie review in the last segment of the show today about Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg. And this is a perfect example. What an incredible topic, adoption. And I didn't expect them to come at it biblically. But there's incredible stuff in that movie, some incredible plot lines, incredible story, incredible points. But then there's all this garbage in there. So it's like, you know, you have this incredible dish at home, and then, well, let's add a little bit of the cat's litter, and let's add a little bit of this. And I go, well, what's the point? So that's really frustrating. But the point of this with Poema is to produce. Well, let me just ask you, Michael, what will be the point of the Poema Arts Conservatory?
It's twofold. First of all, to train. And then to perform. First of all, training. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we know excellence in the arts. We don't know what exceptionalism yet. Where exceptionalism says you've got to be a step above in order to speak the language. And we also know how much the media and the entertainment industry actually shape the message. And we decided a long time ago that it was time for the body of Christ to shape that message. You see, in the last, you know, the political storm that we went through, you know, the election cycle, and how many people from the arts industry and entertainment industry were spokesmen. And that only adds more credibility. I think we need to take a hint.
Yeah.
So we felt like we needed to start training. And the issue is this, is that our mission is to go out and get them, not for them to find us. And the only way to do that is to speak their language. Their language is excellence with exceptionalism. They want to do things that nobody else is doing.
Yeah.
Do it in a way that's a wow type of thing.
So go out recruiting like the best college sports programs in the nation.
Exactly. Well, the only problem is we were sending our kids, the people that we thought that were the ones that we wanted to develop, we were sending them into secular arenas.
Yeah.
And they were being trained by people who are anti-God, anti-Christ. They didn't want anything to do with ministry. And we were losing a generation very, very quickly. And we thought, you know what? Kids shouldn't be asking us, where do I go? They should be asking us, how do I get there?
Right. What a great point. That's a great
point.
We're
not doing that. We're not being entrepreneurial enough, and we're not believing in the abilities that God gave us. We're leaving it, the messaging, to someone else. And I think it's time that if we want to get this nation where we want it, instead of sitting back and, like you said, complaining about everything, we need to be a little bit more proactive and a little bit more believing.
So when that, after the Phantom of the Opera performance, and that it was a father who came up to you and asked you if you knew about the word poema. So let's unpack that again right quick. And then how did that take shape into the vision that you have now that you're executing, right, that God's bringing about?
A little back story before that. We already started a small conservatory. It was more for like a public dance and theater studio, you know, after hours type of thing, more recreational. Anyway,
Was that called?
That was called Field of Dreams.
Which is why my 13-year-old daughter out in the hall is probably putting a hex on you right now, because you're leaving, and she was like, I want to be in Field of Dreams. And we're like, well, sorry, honey. Michael doesn't have really any interest in you.
Well, it still exists, so she can still go. So it was interesting. He came up to said, you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that there's something there to look at in Ephesians 2:10 about being his workmanship. Mm-hmm. Not only were we created to be workmanship, but he created good works for us in advance. And we needed to find out what those good works were. It wasn't, oh, I got to be able to behave right. Those are my good works. If you look up the good works, it's about doing something that was beyond what we could do in ourselves. We needed the favor of God to do it.
Yeah.
And it was going to draw attention to ourselves. So we needed to be attractive. And, you know, the body, we don't want to hear the word, we got to be attractive, but we do. We need to be irresistible. Jesus, people were.
You don't think Jesus was attractive and irresistible? Of course. I mean, the woman at the well, he calls her out, essentially labels her for the whore that she was. And then within an hour or two, she's like, hey, everybody, come meet this guy. I think he might be the Messiah. He knows everything about me. And he called her out. He set her up. Yeah. And there was an attractiveness, an irresistibility to him that we should be like that. And we're not.
We're not. Unfortunately, we're not. But I think we can be.
Yeah.
I believe that. And I think God has set us on a road to do that, because we want to train up young people and old people alike to do something that nobody else is doing, regardless of who they are or where they're at, and to allow the world to say, how did you do that? We do it by hiring the best people, by having the best vision, by putting together the best programming that we can, so that we can compete in the market, compete in ideas. And it is a competition, but I think we're the ones supposed to be ahead of it and winning instead of being on the defense all the time.
What a great point. And this is right from the website where it was talking about you and Kelly and your whole family who've been in this field for 30 years. For too many years, believers have been afraid to utilize their God-given talents for something big. Oftentimes, what is utilized never reaches full maturity because of fear or ignorance, but there is a fresh push to rise above the norm and be that city on a hill and affect change in our communities, both regionally and nationally. God is moving, and we need to move with him. So what's been the reaction generally from, let's start with the church, the Christian community, to kind of an audacious effort like this about Poema?
It's been pretty good. Very supportive. They think it's a great idea. I haven't spoke to a lot of church leaders about it. I'm in contact with a lot of people, but the ones I have talked about it love the idea. It's a foreign concept. I don't know very many other people doing it, where we house an academic as well as an arts program in one place.
What do we call? Is this? Could we say it's akin to like a Christ honoring Juilliard?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that in the ballpark?
Yeah, absolutely. When we want to go to that level as well, I mean, we're not playing to lose. We're playing to win.
And so, what's this going to look like?
It's actually.
And by the way, we're talking to Michael Green, Poema Arts Conservatory. Poema is P-O-I-E-M-A, AC.com. Okay, so if this is, if you have a son or a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, or maybe it's you, and God has created you in such a way that you are absolutely drawn to the arts, this is something that you need to be a part of. At the very least, to pray for it, get involved in some way, perhaps support it financially, or if you have a son or a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, this is something you need to be looking into. P-O-I-E-M-A, that's Poema, AC for artsconservatory.com. Okay, sorry, Michael, go ahead.
Where were we?
I don't know. We're both old. We just forget stuff all the time. If somebody doesn't write it down and stick it to my shirt, it's just gone.
That's exactly right.
Well, I was asking you, what's it going to look like? Boots on the ground, physical plant, the whole thing. Right. What's it going
to
be?
There's a theater in Eastern Tennessee. We can't exactly disclose the location. If you go to my website, you'll be able to see it there. It's a private sale, so they didn't want us to go public with it.
But is it this beautiful, spectacular building I'm looking at on your website?
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. It's in Eastern Tennessee.
That's unbelievable.
It's got a great facility, 20 acres. It's available to us. We're the only ones that they've offered to purchase it. If we don't purchase it, they're going to do something else with the property.
Wow.
It's in a great location. 15 million visitors a year go by that place every day. Not every day. $15 million a year. Which gives us a great opportunity, almost like the day of Pentecost when everybody from every creed came in. And
great point.
This Holy Spirit decided that that was the day the church was going to be born, where people were coming in, they would automatically go out with the news. And we think that's a strategic place where it can be sounded, not just regionally, but nationally, that we're here and we are to be contended with.
And what will take place? What will be going on?
We will start out with two. It's actually a twofold. First of all, we have what's called Poema Arts Conservatory, which is where we will have high school students who will be taking online courses through Liberty Online, who's partnering with us on the academic end.
That's huge.
Yes, and then we will have about 5 hours of arts by professionals that we bring in, and then there's a college component. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then there's a performance component called Poema Artistry, which is a professional theater and dance company.
Wow, awesome. We're going to keep talking about that. Poema Arts Conservatory coming to Eastern Tennessee. And just an incredible movement here that we all, at the very least, be praying about. But people on Facebook are already offering suggestions. We're going to keep talking to Michael when we come back.
Let's try it all together. One, two.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Mr. Michael Green today about something that is much needed in terms of affecting the culture, which then in turn affects politics and every other thing in American life, especially, but all around the world. And that's fine arts, whether it's theater, acting, musicianship, all of those areas of fine arts where I think oftentimes in the church, unfortunately, we're like, oh, no, I don't know that we should be going into that. Yes, we should. And as a matter of fact, do you not think that there will be some fine arts going on in heaven? There is right now. And that's a part of being made in God's image, is that type of creativity, and to be able to bring a beautiful truth to the people through song, through dance, through production. And so Michael and his family have pursued this dream that God kind of birthed in him several years ago. Poema Arts Conservatory. It's poemaac.com. That's P-O-I-E-M-A. That's Poema. AC.com, and we're talking to Michael about this journey and what's going to be happening out there. So, God willing, able to take possession, incredible facility out in Tennessee, incredible. I mean, that's how big is that? How big is that theater room that I'm looking at?
1,700 seats.
1,700 seats. So then this would be year-round. There would be academics involved. What all would be the offerings going on at Poema Arts Conservatory?
Well, obviously, the academics would be online learning, which would be proctored. We wouldn't leave them to their own devices.
What level?
High school, right?
High
now.
School, okay.
And college, too. But college would be a little different, but that's more based on apprenticing and interning.
And that's where this relationship with Liberty University is going to be
playing
a role there. Okay, yep. That's awesome.
It's a really good thing. But we will offer everything, dance, production, business, theater production, stage management, taught by professionals that are in the world, that already know what they're doing. They're seasoned. They've already made an impact. And they want to further that impact by teaching up the next generation.
And so what do you envision in terms of who's coming there?
Probably more local. And we're not looking at a boarding school right now, simply because we believe the parents are supposed to raise the kids, not somebody else.
Yep.
So we will not offer that, a boarding for that. Now, college we would, but it'd be more local students at this point. And then we'll see what happens as it goes on.
And what are you hearing from parents who have sons and daughters involved in the fine arts world that you've known? What are you hearing from parents? And then what are you hearing from students that have been involved in the fine arts? And even, obviously, you have your own children, but kind of both those two groups, what are you getting
Well, the groups
into?
That I've been working with, overriding comment was, what took you so long? Because they're learning that, you know what, this is a viable option for a vocation as well as a ministry. And for so long, the church has put it down like that you can't make money on the arts, but it's almost recession-proof in many places. So
tell that to everybody in Hollywood, that you can't make money on the arts.
Oh, yeah, because they own the airwaves. So I'm hearing a lot of positive things. And it's, the main thing is, why is it taking you so long? And we're done hearing that. So we decided, you know, it's time that we stop that kind of questioning and put together a place where people can go.
Yeah.
It's important.
A couple of great comments on Facebook Live right now. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, you know, since you're looking at your feed anyway, just in the search box, put the Steve Noble Show and jump on over. You can join us in Evan's Winter Wonderland, also known as the studio. But Catherine on Facebook, I saw several of the NRCA, that's the Christian school where Michael was leading the program, musicals, and I'm thankful. This is a really neat point, that dancing was done beautifully, since I was a dancer and was frustrated that the church thought all dancing was sinful. And that's certainly true. I mean, there's the old joke in the Southern Baptist Convention that we don't want people having sex because it may lead to dancing. Ba-doom. Steve at the Steve Noble Show. I'll be happy to engage you on that one if that was over the line. Here's another one from Grace, who you know. The arts are a God-given gift stolen and distorted by Satan. Absolutely right. What a great point. We as the church should be who God created and gifted us to be. Share those gifts and his message with the world. Mike is that very gift, not only in the arts, but in ministry, family, and friendship. That's awfully kind. And that's the deal, that everybody knows that about you, Michael, and you're not going to take any of God's glory. But I've gotten to know Michael a little bit and have a lot of friends that know him, and he really is the real deal. So let's talk a little bit about how people listening now on the radio and on Facebook Live and people that will listen later, how do we get involved? How do we be a part of this? What can we do to be a part of what God's obviously doing?
I think, I mean, it's cliche to say we need your prayers. But we really do, because in all honesty, this is a stronghold that the enemy's had for so long, and he's not going to give it up willingly. He's going to fight tooth and nail, especially when he sees something that's credible.
Sure.
And we know that's going to happen. We don't know how the attacks are going to happen, but we need to be ready for them. We need to be aware of the strategy.
And don't you know, I just thought of this. Satan loves Christian B-movies. He loves poorly done or mediocrity, because God is about excellence. Satan is only a thief. He's only a thief. All he can do is mess around with stuff that God made. He makes nothing except trouble. And so we have to remember that this is about excellence, which is what God's language is. And I think it's an important point that you keep bringing up. But anyway, so how do we get involved? I'm sorry, I just jumped in there.
Okay, prayer is the first thing. We need people that prayer warriors that will stand on the ramparts and make sure that we're protected and covered. Secondly, obviously, this is going to cost quite a bit of money to do, you know, millions of dollars to secure the venue, as well as we want to put together a 3 to 4 year plan for development as well as endowments, because we believe that anybody with a talent that's been called by God, we're the place that they should be, and we're not turning anybody away based on economics. That would be foolish of us to do that. This is not for economics for us. This is about the kingdom of God and getting a message out there of redemption for this nation. And we can turn this nation around in a generation or less if we capture this area and do it well. They can, if they want to know how they can be financial, they can contact me personally. I don't know if I should be giving my phone number over the air.
Knock yourself out.
919-368-6633. Please call me, or you can go to our website. Again, that's POIEMAAC. And explains a little bit more how to donate and why to donate. Again, this is a community thing. This is not about the Green family. This is about the body of Christ coming together with different resources, with your strengths from different places, to do something. And it's called turning the world around. You know, it's not about one person. We're afraid to help somebody else because it might diminish our attention. This is not about getting attention. It actually is. We want to go into the arts community and capture the hearts of those who are in the arts community and give them a home. You know, the Bible calls us to bring them into family, and we're leaving them out there as orphans. We've got to bring them into family, and if they're left to their own devices, it's going to devour them, and we can't let that happen anymore.
Well, how many people go out to the Hollywood machine, of which I know several personally, and it just consumes them? Because it is not – we throw the term safe space around, and I understand why we push back on that. But in this case, anytime you're around people that actually know and follow the Lord, that is a safe space. Whether you're a believer or not, that's a place where you're going to be loved, accepted, and cared for, and then led to the truth, obviously.
Absolutely.
So do you envision non-believers coming here? Because if it's all about excellence, who wouldn't want to go there?
Right. Well, the conservatory itself would be for believers only. But we're planning on doing two community shows a year where there's no litmus test. And we go out there and say, come in here. What a better means of evangelism. If they're rubbing shoulders with us and they're watching grace in motion, not grace in theory.
Right.
And we're planning on that to be very evangelistic. And I know that's not going to bode well with a lot of people that are stuck in religious halls and towers. But we believe that's going to be a very strategic way of evangelizing in that community and gaining the favor of people. Jesus gained favor with God and man.
Yeah, God and man. That's right.
And we want to do that because that's a pattern that was successful. And we got to speak the right language. If we're out in our ivory towers as Christians trying to do Mary Had a Little Lamb from our stages every Christmas, we're not going to speak to anybody but Grandma.
What if we do Peter Pan starring Michael Green?
You
go back and listen to the podcast or the Facebook Live. Go back to the beginning of the show, and then you'll realize why Michael Green is giving the crazy blind horse lady all kinds of looks.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Jennifer who wrote Joey, who's been on the show before. And that's an incredible book. By the way, Merry Christmas. You should be giving Joey away as a gift. It's really an amazing story. From this guy who's not usually weepy about a lot of things, and I knew about this horse ministry, and he's, all these great things going on. Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'm sure that's great. And so, but I never really spent any time going out there. Then I read Joey, and you know, I'm weeping throughout it, and it's real, and God did it, and it's amazing. So get that book and share it at Christmas, Joey. Really an amazing story. So let me ask you this question. Do you have a vision yet for the first production you'd like to do?
Yes, it's interesting. We did Titanic at NRCA.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Life and Times of Steve Noble. But
well, we could do that next. You know, that hasn't been written yet.
But go ahead, do the Titanic.
Okay, well, the Titanic,
it's not the movie version.
Yeah, it is. The Broadway version is fantastic.
Wow.
And they got the Titanic Museum out there close by where we want to be.
How cool is that?
And I want to partner with them. They don't know it yet. But I want to partner with them every year to
God
do that production.
That.
And then every Christmas, we will do White Christmas as a way of outreach to the community and bringing a lot of people in. Like I said, the tourism industry out there is by and far one of the biggest in the nation.
Now, check this. I got to throw this in here before we run out of time. Jenna Stott,
who hey, Jenna.
Worked under you at the NRCA program. As an alumni of the NRCA program, that's the local Christian school that Michael was working at. I'm looking forward to opportunities this new conservatory will offer young performers and the impact it will make on worshipful arts. That's a great phrase, by the way. Anything can happen if you let it. If you reach for the heavens, you'll get the stars thrown in.
That's from Mary Poppins.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, we're the first private school in the nation to be awarded the contract to do Mary Poppins when it came out.
Really?
And Phantom of the Opera, we were the first school in the nation
You're,
to get
blessed
the rights.
And highly favored, my friend.
There's a lot of favor that God's given us, and we're going to take advantage of that while we can.
Pretty awesome. Poema Arts Conservatory, the website, poiemaac.com. It's on Facebook. I've got that in there. Poema Arts Academy, poiemaac.com. Michael Green, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing the story. And we're going to pay attention and we're going to be behind it as much as we can.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being here. God bless you. And Merry Christmas. And tell the rest of the gang out there in Never Never Land that I said hello. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And earlier today, a friend of mine here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Cindy Wacko, who's been on the show before, a great conservative woman of God, put up a little link to a Bill O'Reilly, BillO'Reilly.com, a little link to his story, the story that just came out December 5th, that he called "O Come All Ye Faithful." And there was a lot of things in here that it just kind of arrested my attention and my heart and my intellect. And so I want to talk about that. And then I'm going to do a quick review of the movie Instant Family here before we run out of time. But before we do all that, just a quick reminder about our friends at MediShare, just an incredible Christian ministry all across the country, over 300,000 Christians now sharing their major medical expenses. The great thing about it, when we switched to MediShare back in, it was like 2011. All of a sudden, we're paying attention to what we're paying for simple doctor visits and things like that. We weren't managing it before. We were just paying an exorbitant amount of money in health insurance and not really paying attention to it. And then every time you get a runny nose, somebody's going into the doctor. And then all of a sudden, we're having to manage it more closely. But our major medical expenses would all be covered by the body of Christ nationwide. And guess what? We ended up, I mean, for us, we were saving literally thousands of dollars a year doing this and doing it a different way. Plus, with Obamacare, we weren't being forced to pay for things that we disagreed with as followers of Christ that hold to a biblical worldview. So there's all kinds of fruit on that tree. I hope you'll check it out for yourself. It'll definitely be worth your time and a phone call. MediShare, 844-744-BIBLE is their phone number, 844-744-BIBLE. So Bill O'Reilly. So this was really interesting. Bill O'Reilly is a, I think, a kind of a pseudo-practicing Catholic from things that he's said. And this was really an interesting article and several things in here that I thought were worth mentioning. I'm going to read – it's not very long, so let me read it to you, and then I'll pull it apart here before we finish the time on the show today, and we'll talk about Instant Family, the movie with that's out right now with Mark Wahlberg. The faithful are not coming, at least not the way they once did. Churches and synagogues are seeing declining weekly attendance as America becomes a devoted secular nation. I agree with that. This is, again, Bill O'Reilly writing this. The winds of change have not been kind to the spiritual, even as the Christmas season is upon us once again. Much of the diminishment of religion comes from the media, which often marginalizes people of faith, portraying them as zealots who intrude on the quote-unquote rights of others. For example, while LGBT progress is met with parades, those who promote biblical beliefs are accused of bigotry and shunned by some. And on the subject of abortion, if you stand to protect innocent life, then you're a hater of women, not worthy of being taken seriously. Tough to fight that, so millions of folks don't even try. And some of them are supposed to be religious leaders. Centuries of Irish Catholic tradition compel me to attend weekly Mass, even though it is not always a rewarding experience. Yes, the hour honors the Creator, and that is always a positive, but the application of Christian theology to a complicated world is almost non-existent in many churches. Simply put, this is Bill O'Reilly writing, 90% of the Catholic sermons I hear are boring, and I have heard them all over the world. Having researched a best-selling book called Killing Jesus, I know the Nazarene was anything but dull. In fact, his sermons, he's talking about Jesus, were so provocative and meaningful that they frightened the Roman governor Pilate, who ordered Jesus executed on grounds of alleged sedition, about which no evidence was produced. It was the words of the Nazarene that got him executed. But today, Bill O'Reilly writes, the men in charge of channeling the words of Jesus to believers are largely timid and detached from the everyday struggles that people of faith face. I suspect it is similar in Jewish houses of worship. Instead of hearing for the 6,000th time about how the mustard seed fell on fallow ground, I'd like to hear something about confronting hatred. What should a Christian actually do when malice appears, as it so often does in our lives? I'd like a sermon on how to cope with handheld devices that can instantly access evil. How about bearing false witness against your neighbor, which is epidemic in America? How should we deal with people who do that? Turn the other cheek or slap them down? I have thousands of sermon suggestions that I know I will never hear because of clergy apathy. Organized religion is dying in America, not because of scandal, although that has hurt. No, the churches have immediate seating because the environment they foster is often irrelevant to our lives. Jesus inspired. His stand-ins are tired. Posted by Bill O'Reilly. Okay, so several things here. Absolutely, religious fervor in America is declining. However, if you look at consistent, committed churchgoers all the way back to the early 1920s, it's remained somewhere between 22 to 24% of the nation. there was a big study done by Ed Stetzer, who used to be with Lifeway, and now he's at Moody College in Chicago. And it showed this kind of steady 22 to 24% committed Christian attendance to church. And then all the kind of also-rans, the cultural Christians, all pile in on top of that. And so you have this ebb and flow. And as America today looks more secular because more people who claimed to be Christians, and still you get about 76% of the country that does that, are now willing to kind of, they claim it, but they live as anything other, right? So they can say they're a Christian, but they don't know the word. They don't go to church. They don't know the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so they live very secular lives, and more people are willing to live that openly. So what I think is happening, and I'll deal with the Catholic Church here in a minute, what I think is happening is the faux church, this fake, weak, non-gospel-inspired, non-Holy Spirit-inspired, mainline denomination, faux, faux church is falling away. But the real church, the Jesus church, the church full of the Holy Spirit that preaches the word of God and believes in the gospel as spoken by Jesus himself, that church, she's fine, thank you. But it's just all the fake stuff's fallen away. And so that's one part, and he doesn't understand that. In terms of the Catholic Church, and he goes over and over again, which is interesting, centuries of Irish Catholic tradition compel me to attend weekly Mass, even though it's not always a rewarding experience. Why go? That's the whole religious thing. And it's not just Catholics, and not every Catholic has this problem. There's plenty of religious people in other denominations, though. I owe, so off to work I go. Are you going to heaven? I think so. I hope so. No, the Bible says you can know so. The biggest problem for Bill O'Reilly is he doesn't know the gospel, based on what he's saying. And based on how he's acting, and based on how he's reacting to what he's hearing. Because the Word of God never comes back void, right? Now, the problem in the Catholic Church is the Word of God isn't their only authority. They have the Church, too. Man, the Pope, etc., etc., etc. Which I take massive issue with, as do a lot of conservative theologians. So Bill O'Reilly is going to a church that I think largely is powerless. Not 100%, but largely. And he doesn't know the gospel. But all of his other observations are spot on. And when you look at Jesus, he was compelling. He was controversial. He got in people's business. Now, he did it with love and compassion and grace, absolutely, but truth all the time. And most pastors these days are afraid to offend the big givers. They won't preach a full sermon on life. They won't deal with that issue. They won't deal with politics. They just kind of stay safe because they're worried about driving away some percentage of their church, because if that happens, all of a sudden they can't make the budget. And if they can't make the budget, then more people are going to leave, and then they're going to lose their job, and then everybody's out. All reliance on man. I'm not throwing every single pastor at every single church under the bus, but I think I'm throwing most of them under there. And I think you can look it around at a largely powerful quote-unquote church, which I think has largely become a public institution of just some place to go to make yourself feel better. It's religious. You think it's helping. It's doing nothing. Your church attendance does nothing for your salvation. Only Christ deals with your salvation. Church attendance doesn't. And so, you know what, Lord? I just pray that Bill O'Reilly will hear the true, unadulterated gospel. Not from a Baptist, not from a Catholic, not from a Methodist, from a Christ follower. And once he has the Holy Spirit, then he'll search out places where he can be fed. But on a lot of this other stuff, and on pastors being boring and not being courageous like Jesus was and is, he's absolutely right. Pretty interesting coming from Bill O'Reilly. Okay, Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg. What a fantastic opportunity. This is I told Jennifer Blakely was in here earlier with Michael Green. She's the great author behind the book Joey, which is a true story about the blind horse at a wonderful ministry here in the Raleigh-Durham area, called Hope Reigns, where they use these broken horses, blind horses, abused horses to reach kids that are struggling with some of the same things. But I told her this movie, Instant Family, starring Mark Wahlberg and some other folks that you would recognize. He and his wife are house flippers. They're doing well. And then all of a sudden they kind of get into this adoption world, trying to figure out what's going on and should we have kids. And they end up adopting three siblings, the oldest 15, then probably 10 or 12, and then like a 7 or 8 year old. They're Latino. And adoption, of course, right at the center of the Bible, right at the center of the gospel. That is adoption. So, but I had heard from another friend who actually they have 12 kids themselves. She took several of her kids to see it because they've adopted two brothers from Ethiopia. And she's like, man, what an incredible opportunity, incredible story, obviously an incredible subject, so close to the heart of God. But then with the swearing and the double entendres, it's like, so when I was talking to Jennifer earlier, and listen, I really, this was a difficult one. Because it's like, have you ever known, and maybe you are this woman, or have you ever known a woman who's naturally very pretty, but puts on tons and tons and tons of makeup, really just kind of goes all out, way on top, and they're convinced that they need it, and everybody else in their life is like, no, you're pretty without, you don't need all that stuff. This is what happened with that movie. This story of adoption, and the story that's inside Instant Family, and the struggles they go through, and then winning over these kids with love and service, and these kids realizing, and the story behind adoption, which is a huge, and it's fostering, especially in America, which is a massive problem. Man, that's so important. And it's heartwarming. All that stuff is, I mean, I was tearing up several times. You know, Mark Wahlberg is, you know, kind of a funny guy to be in a movie like this, but, you know, it kind of works. But it was the swearing and some of the other stuff. I'm like, what is the point? And to what Michael Green was saying earlier, do you ever go down that road? You're in this movie and you're going, why are they dropping the JC bomb, the GD all the time? What? It doesn't add anything. It just takes away. And the more wholesome the movie, the more money they make. Ted Barrett, movie guy, has been showing them that for years, decades, in fact, out in California. So Instant Family, would I take my 13-year-old to it? No, I wouldn't. because there's so much garbage in there, including an F-bomb, that I wouldn't take her. Would I take my 15, 16, 17-year-old? Yeah, because it offers the opportunity to do what I'm doing. You get to talk about the important things. Family, parents, mom, dad, service, caring, respect, honor, and especially adoption in the foster care system. But you also get to talk about the pollution of the world, which takes this beautiful woman, the story of adoption and fostering, and puts on all this garbage makeup. I'd see it. I liked it, but there's definitely an asterisk to there. I hope you have a great weekend. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad said, ever forward.